You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and this is Dan Baer's interview with the director of the documentary Skin, A History of Nudity in the Movies, Danny Wolf.
20 minutes after they invented film, somebody started photographing naked people.
Hollywood was a kind of Sodom on the Pacific.
Middle America was up in arms.
There were censorship boards.
Moral police.
Thou shall not do this, you should not have that, no nudity, and nothing licentious or lecherous.
If the code movies teach us anything, it's that there are ways around stuff.
You have people making movies without the seal of approval.
It has sex, it has violence, it has the relationship between sex and violence.
Subversive stuff.
Marilyn Monroe was the first actress to prove that nudity does not destroy a career, it can even help a career.
And then Jane Mansfield was right behind her.
Then Mamie Van Doren.
That's Anne Margaret, and she's naked.
Everybody's naked, and they're touching each other.
They decided to allow nudity in movies.
Midnight Cowboy won an Oscar and was rated X.
About bloody time.
It was liberating for actors and actresses to get nude on screen.
When am I ever going to look this good again?
If I hadn't done the nudity, I might not have a career today.
I wouldn't have gotten the role had I not had breasts.
If I'm naked, people are going to go like this.
In America, they go, oh my God.
I wasn't prepared for the entire world picking your body apart.
You want to be attractive enough that people want you to be naked, but you want to work with people that aren't going to abuse it.
I don't want to be known as the actress who just does nudity. I didn't have the choices that women do today.
Now there's more of a system of checks and balances.
The growing Me Too movement.
People are very aware of power dynamics.
What price do you put on your body, and what are you willing to get naked for?
People are afraid of sex, and maybe they're a little bit afraid of nudity too.
You were looking awfully close, weren't you?
Welcome, everyone, to the Next Best Picture podcast. We are talking with Danny Wolf, the director of the new documentary Skin, A History of Nudity in the Movies. Welcome, Danny. How are you doing today?
Good, Daniel. How are you? And are we your next best picture?
I am doing well. And I am a fan of any movie about movies. Especially documentaries. So
good.
So yes, this is definitely one of our next best pictures.
Awesome. We appreciate that.
The topic of sex, especially sex on film, is one that is quite fraught in American culture. And I think it's only become more fraught in recent years, as you definitely mention in this film, especially with the hashtag Me Too movement and the way that we are really looking at sex and gender and sexual acts within Hollywood, both in film and behind the scenes. Was that the impetus that you had for making this particular documentary now, or was there something else? Was this a long time in the making? Tell us some of the history about this movie.
I mean, the Me Too movement just happened to fall in kind of at the right timing for us. We weren't, that wasn't the reason we made the documentary, but that certainly was something we wanted to throw in at the beginning and the end to bookmark this, because it's so important and it is changing how nudity is portrayed in movies. But this really came about that our executive producers, Paul Fishbein and Jim McBride, who's Mr. Skin, there's so many documentaries. It's like, can you believe there's never been a documentary in the history of nudity in movies? And we're like, you got to be kidding me. There's documentaries on everything. And it's like, not this. And then you make it, you get on as fast as you can before someone else does.
Yeah.
And we had the right team, because we just came off of doing a three-volume documentary on cult films, so we were kind of on a roll.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, we're ready to jump into our next one, and thought, if we can do something that's not exploitive or gratuitous, but a real fun, educational, interesting, you know, definitive documentary on the history of nudity from the very beginning to today, we will have something really good. And that's exactly how it turned out.
It is very tastefully done, but it is still kind of a little titillating. And as it's going to be when you have people like Joe Dante and Mamie Van Doren talking about nudity in films. But it seemed really comprehensive on the level of history, obviously, especially talking about the Hays Code. And one of the things that I was somehow had never known before, despite being, you know, very much a student of film, was that the Hays Code was adopted by the MPAA in 1930, but it wasn't actually enforced until 1934.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, the pre-code movies were really wild because these were the filmmakers like Cecil B. DeMille that, I mean, the code really was created in 1928, but it wasn't enforced till 34. So directors were just throwing as much nudity and with big stars that they could. And then, of course, the code gets enforced in 34, and then you involve the Catholic Legion of Decency. And you're giving lists, these strict guidelines, you know, directors are given to control your language and your even your costumes and your scenery. And it's kind of, it was the first form of censorship in U.S. cinema.
Yeah.
So there were decades, I think, people who even love film or studied film don't know there was this period of time in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, into the late 60s, where they had this sort of crazy production code, the do's and do nots.
Yeah.
However, at the same time, you had these great directors like Russ Meyer and Doris Wishman and, you know, Herschel Gordon Lewis that broke the code, that were still continuing to make movies. They weren't going to get major distribution because they weren't code films, but, you know, they were nudie cutie films and monster nudie movies, and theaters were running them and doing extremely well. And that kind of, that there was such an audience for these films got the code to sort of start crumbling in the 60s. And then the MPAA in 1968 said, that's it. We're going to go, you know, X, which X wasn't bad at the time. It wasn't triple X, it was X. And, you know, Midnight Cowboy got an X, and Vixen and Reading, you know, these movies got X, and they weren't porn films. Midnight Cowboy, you know, was an Academy Award winning best picture. So like, slapping an X on a movie in 1968 wasn't a death sentence. And that was something we wanted to really cover to show how nudity really in the late 60s is when everything started changing.
Yeah. And that is a particularly interesting thing because like I think a lot of people sort of look at Midnight Cowboy now and knowing that it got the X rating, go to it and expect something very different than what it is because of because of what X has come to mean. But as with anything, X ended up becoming a marketing tool for people wanting to push that sexual boundaries and that sort of change. I thought it was fascinating that the MPAA hadn't trademarked or copyrighted the ratings so that people couldn't use them.
And the ratings were just guidelines. They basically, you know, the MPAA is a group of parents. They're not censors. And that's not their job. Their job is really to recommend and set guidelines for films. You know, the triple X, you know, that changed everything. But there's several movies we cover. I mean, The Last Picture Show originally got an X. Alice in Wonderland, which we cover with Christine DeBell, there was an X and an R. Caligula originally got an X. You know, so that wasn't such, like you say, it wasn't so bad to get an X rating at the time. And then once triple X came in, you know, everything then an NC-17 with Henry and June.
Right.
You know, it's kind of where we are today.
Yeah. And it's been that way for a while.
Yeah.
I was really excited to hear you mention earlier in one of your answers, Doris Wishman, who I don't think I had ever heard of prior to watching this movie. And for, you know, a woman to be making these kind of nudie pictures, that is not something that we typically hear about happening, especially at the time period when she was making films. And as one of the more unheard of people I think mentioned in the film, like where's her movie? Is there a lot more that was interesting about her than you were able to put in the film?
Yeah, there was. I mean, again, you kind of rip roaring through these decades. So to spend more time on, I would love to spend more time on Herschel Gordon Lewis or Doris Wishman. Russ Meyer, though, was worth spending more time on because Russ was everything. Russ Meyer was his own genre of movie just because he did everything. And, you know, The Immoral Mr. Tease was so groundbreaking at the time it came out. No one had made a movie like this. And then look what he does after. You know, he does Vixen and Beyond the Valley of the Dolls and the Ultra Vixen movies. And Russ is one of those guys you don't leave out of a documentary about nudity because that
can't.
Was his genre.
Yeah,
exactly. And his movies are grim. Beyond the Valley of the Dolls is one of the most underrated movies ever made.
Oh, it's fantastic.
You like the movie?
Oh, yeah. It's a classic.
Classic.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Burn the Boats from Evergreen Podcasts. I interview political leaders and influencers, folks like award-winning journalist Soledad O'Brien and conservative columnist Bill Kristol, about the choices they confront when failure is not an option. I won't agree with everyone I talk to, but I respect anyone who believes in something enough to risk everything for it. Because history belongs to those willing to burn the boats. Episodes are out every other week wherever you get your podcasts.
You've watched them in unforgettable adventures, love affairs, and tragedies. Now it's time to hear their own remarkable stories. From the makers of Death of a Rockstar and Death of a Sports Star, this is Death
Ready.
Of a Film Star.
And action.
Starring Heath Ledger, Marilyn Monroe, Chadwick Boseman, Robin Williams, Carrie Fisher, and Bruce Lee. Search for Death of a Film Star in your podcast app. You've seen them tell stories. Now it's time to tell theirs.
Do you think, you know, in that 20 to 30 year period that the code was enforced, how much, if any, damage do you think it did to films and the art of filmmaking during that period?
Well, I mean, sort of, you know, we wanted to emphasize the political, artistic, and social changes, you know, that predicated a more liberal attitude to nudity, and that was that time. I mean, there was still, you know, there were, again, Howard Hughes did The Outlaw.
Yeah.
That was during the code, but there was nudity in that movie. So there were some directors doing it, but it really was a weird time that, you know, again, you have this, you know, Catholic Legion of Decency telling people what to see and what not to see. And, you know, we'll never hopefully ever have to deal with that again, but there was the moral police. So you could have a tremendous amount of great movies made in the, you know, I would say the 40s to, you know, in the 50s, there's not a lot of great movies. There were some good movies, but not some of the seminal ones we were going to cover, because at this time there was very little nudity in films, except for those sort of subgenre films, the Garden of Edens and the, you know, some of the monster nudies and the nudie cutie films.
Yeah. One of my favorite things about the movie is the way it opens with a lot of the interviewees talking about the first time they remember seeing nudity on screen.
Yeah.
What of those was your favorite response?
Oh, wow. It might have been Eric Roberts saying Caligula.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was an odd movie for an actor, and, you know, of Eric's age to say, you know, ask what was one of the first movies you remember with nudity, and he goes, Caligula, and they were all touching each other. And, you know, wow, that movie was from the 70s, so I don't know, maybe Eric Roberts didn't see a lot of nudity when he was young. I thought that was interesting. And Sean Young talking about, you know, Last Tango in Paris.
Yes.
And I wonder if that really was the first movie she saw with nudity, because that's a movie came from the 70s.
Right.
And Sean's a little older. So I don't know. I mean, maybe we threw them for a loop sometimes to ask them the first movie they remember with nudity, but certainly you get some interesting answers.
Well, and those are two particularly memorable films, so.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And speaking of which, I mean, Sean Young, Eric Roberts, Mariel Hemingway, Linda Hamilton, Tracy Lords, Sylvia Miles, Prem Grier. You interviewed a lot of legendary people for this movie. Was there anyone that you wanted to interview but didn't get to?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you cast a really wide net of who you want to interview. And, I mean, we had names on the wall like Barbara Streisand and Kathleen Turner.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Teresa Russell. Teresa Russell would have been. You're not going to get everybody. You try to get the best ones you can. And you try to get some that maybe people won't expect to see, like Ken Davidian from Borat. I'm sure when people are watching this, they're not going to expect Borat to pop up in this documentary. But you know what? He did nudity in the movie.
And very memorably.
And very memorable. As memorable as almost any other nude scene. So why shouldn't he be in this documentary? But, I mean, Yeah, a Julianne Moore would have been interesting, just because of Boogie Nights and Shortcuts and Big Lebowski. I mean, she's done a lot of nudity. Kate Winslet's done a lot of nudity back to the very beginning. And just it would have been interesting to talk about Titanic, since that was one of the very rare PG movies, you know, to PG-13 to show nudity.
Yes.
So, you know, yeah, you have your wish list and you do the best you can to get who you can. But I think, you know, to get Sylvia Miles doing her last ever interview was really cool.
Yeah.
And to have Malcolm McDowell tell, you know, amazing stories of just not Caligula, but If and Clockwork Orange, you know. So there's no shortage if people are looking for really cool stories. But I think what people will really like is who pops up, who you may not expect.
Yeah.
You know, if you're into the horror genre and you see, oh, my gosh, Camille Keaton from I Spit on Your Grave, who would expect her to pop up in this documentary? But her nudity was pretty important, and as was the film.
And it was really interesting to hear, especially her like views on what it meant to be nude on screen and how she felt doing it. And so many of them that was a constant refrain was, you know, like, this is, if it makes sense for the character,
correct,
I'm happy to do it.
That came up all the time, that if it was germane to the role, if Rena Riffle is doing Showgirls, well, then she's obviously going to be doing nudity because she's playing a stripper. Or, you know, if you're talking to Muriel Hemingway, who's in Personal Best, and you're playing a track star, well, yeah, track stars, girls do go in the sauna after their workouts, and they're not wearing, you know, tuxedos. So it's, yeah, most actors or actresses, if it is, the nudity is germane to, or integral to the storyline or to the character, most don't have problems doing it. It's the times where it's gratuitous or just thrown in there because the distributor wants an extra scene with boobs. Then you hear the stories and the problems. And those were very prevalent in the like 70s and early 80s.
Yeah. And considering all that and the time period that we find ourselves in now, and you know, how you're really do bookend the film with Me Too and the revelations that everyone is coming up with about treatment of actors and actresses behind the scenes as well as in front of the camera.
Yeah.
What do you ultimately want people to take away from this film?
Well, I want people to come away saying, I never knew there was a production code. I want people to learn, even if you took film history classes, I've heard from some people who watch this, they never even knew there was a production code. And they never knew, that even had gone on. And I think just if you learn something that you never knew before, if it makes you want to check out a movie you may never have seen, like a Caligula or a Vixen, that it's really cool to discover movies you may never have seen before. And if it makes you want to go check a film out, I think that's really cool. And I just hope that, our explanation of where we are today and that there are intimacy coordinators on sets now to make sure, you know, actresses and actors are taken care of and not exploited. And if there's going to be nudity, it's going to be done in good taste and, you know, done correctly and accurately. It's important that people understand that this is changing and is going on now. And actors and actresses and female actresses are far more empowered now than they have ever been, which is great. So I think if people take that away, but I think it's entertaining and it's fun and educational. And I think anybody who thinks they know everything about film, nudity or not nudity, is going to learn a lot.
I could not agree more. And, thank you for making this film and putting all this information out there and getting this fantastic array of people to talk about one of the aspects of films that we don't really ever talk about because America, we were founded by Puritans.
We're prude and we're too taboo. So exactly. Thank you, Daniel. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to Dan Baer's interview with the director of the documentary Skin, A History of Nudity in the Movies, Danny Wolf, here on the Next Best Picture podcast. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, Acast, CastBox, and also on Spotify. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know what you think of the show. We really appreciate your feedback and your support, which you can lend on over at Patreon. For $1 minimum a month, you will get some exclusive podcast content from us. Thank you so much for listening, as always, and we shall see you all next time.
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book, and together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our ninth season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.